Hey everybody, and welcome back to We the Haunted episode. I'm assuming ni 19 at this point.
Yes, there you go, 19.
I am Trevor, Haunted Faith, and we also have
Lily, the one and the only, as if I'm a magician.
I fucking wish I was a fucking like sleight of hand card tricks. Fuck yeah, dude. This is my turn to take over the podcast. So get ready to have 10 times more fun. Are you ready? I'm kidding.
Look, I know I am boring,
No, you're not. You're
but
not. I'm boring whenever you're taking the lead. I'm just over here like, yep, yep. Okay, cool. It might be ghost. Cool. Yep.
yeah, damn, Trevor.
And this is where we put each other on the hot spot, and we have to guess what episode, not episode, what topic we're talking about.
This is episode 217.
Yes.
I
I don't know what that meant, but sure. your first guess, and she has th three guesses. Your first guess is the year of 1912.
Is that the hard one?
Yes.
Okay, so I was kind of worried that was the easy one.
There
I was like,
is a sign in front of this place that has that date big on it, because that is the year it happened.
is murder axe fuck what is it called? Oh, what is it called? Is it on our list?
It
Guys,
is.
we have a list.
Oh,
Oh no, what is it called? It's like Axe Murder House or something like that, but it's probably not that, is it?
you got it right.
Was I right?
Yeah. The
Of what is it called?
this podcast is the Velisca Axe Murder
Yeah,
House.
fuck! You got to it before I go. No.
So in other words, so in other words, she didn't get it right technically, so I win again.
No,
Your
I started with a V, and I was like, fuck,
your voice is getting
what
so high pitch up there, it's cutting off your voice. I can't even hear you laugh right now. Oh, the fucking audio gate's like, nope, calm down. You're being a bit too loud.
Sorry, guys, I got excited. I really like this case, and I really like its paranormal
Well, there's a lot.
happenings, activity.
I did some deep dive on the crime scene specifically, and there's a lot of stuff that I didn't know about that I found out about.
I'm excited. I
So,
know a lot about this. I'm so
okay.
excited. Okay.
In the summer of 1912, a mass murder rocked this town of less than 2,000 people and spread fear throughout the homes of Midwest families for years. In Villisca, crimes and violence were the last things on people's minds. People would leave their doors unlocked and knew everyone, and neighbors were friendly. This all changed after the morbid deaths at the home of Josiah and Sarah Moore. On the evening of June 10th, the Moore family and two friends of the Moore children were sleeping soundly after church when a person or persons, I put that because we technically don't know how many there was, entered the home and brutally murdered each and every one of them with an axe found on the property. And to be more specific, supposedly the secret person or persons entered the house while the family was at church and waited for them to go to sleep. Then came out around midnight that evening and sneaked around the house to carry out the killings. Is this what you know of so far?
Yeah, I'm just seeing if you're gonna mention certain things,
All
but
right.
we'll see.
All in all, the parents and six children were murdered that night. The dad is Josiah B. Moore. The mother is Sarah Moore. There's four kids: Herman, which was 11; Catherine, which was 10; Arthur, which was 7; Paul, which was 5; and then the two guest kids, Ina, which was 8; And Lena Stillinger, which was 12. And Lena is going to play a big role. Well, not a big role, but it's going to be a Lena, let's just say, is the fighter.
Yeah.
There is a lot of unsettling details about the crime scene that were found out by locals. Whenever they called, there wasn't cops back in the day. They had to call the, what the fuck are they called? Peace something. I'm a Tuscan throat singing. I don't fucking, I have it somewhere. I'll see it eventually. Anyway.
I can't remember either, if that makes you feel any better.
But whenever the investigators arrived at the house, there was a hidden attic. A single door was locked only from the inside. And linens covering every window and mirror in the house. And supposedly there was cigarette butts in the attic, like the killer snuck up and waited there. Which, you think you would smell that?
Yeah, see, that's what I was about to say. That's one of the weird parts. So they specifically point out the cigarette butts and then another thing. And I would be like, if that were me and somebody recently smoked in my home, that shit sticks to the walls. But also, that was over 100 years ago. And of course, we've adapted differently since then. Back then, you know, you're around a lot of smoke anyways because you're cooking or you're burning wood. Or so, I mean, I don't know.
And was the amount of chemicals in cigarettes as strong 100 years ago?
100 years ago, I don't know when the chemicals started to change. For people who don't know, like, cigarettes have added chemicals in tobacco a lot, and that gives it a really strong, like, nasty burning smell. But if you were to traditionally smoke tobacco, which was normally like a Native American religious traditional thing, you just straight up have dried tobacco. Yeah. So I, you know, honestly, I really don't know.
Fair enough. And then the way that they were all killed, it's like the husband was targeted. Do you know about how they were all specifically killed?
Yes.
The killer only used the blade on the husband. And Lily is frozen.
That is very, oh.
You're back. I pointed out. Her internet is weird or fucky, but she's back. I'm not cutting
that
out.
I don't know why it's fucky. I'm sorry.
No, let's continue. We got this shit. Yeah. The killer only used the blade on the husband. He severed his head and then blunt forced him a lot. It's like he was targeted towards him, but everyone else was just an accessory, because the wife and all the kids were struck and killed by only the blunt part of the axe.
Mm-hmm.
And the wife and husband were the first two to die, and then their kids, and then the guest kids were the last two people to die. And then all the victims except Lena happened to be asleep. Lena had defensive wounds and appeared laying across the bed like she was not asleep and gave up a fighting chance, even though it was not successful. The axe was then left in the guest bedroom. And then these last two bits I have on this specific bullet point are fucking weird. I didn't expect this. I mean, one of them is extremely weird.
Okay.
Apparently the killer even cooked himself a meal after the fact, which was left untouched.
Mm-hmm.
And then also the killer left behind a singular bowl of bloody water.
That's it?
Specifically about the crime scene, yes. Yeah.
Anything about bacon in there?
He left the axe beside the bacon.
But you didn't mention the bacon.
I didn't see it as a big point.
It is a big point. It really is. Because that's one of the things that people point out in the case, is that there is raw bacon wrapped up in a white cloth in the guest bedroom, right in front of the bed where Lena was killed. And they say that is a religious thing.
Oh.
So, and to make it short and sweet to the point,
okay,
it's apparently a religious thing, some people pointed out, and that it might target down of who the suspect might have been.
Well, then the one and only suspect that they took to trial may have been the killer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome. also, the bloody bowl of water. Why? Mm-hmm. Anyway, mm-hmm. I'm smacking Mac with my headset. The killings were discovered the next morning when the neighbor Mary Peckham noticed the Moores hadn't started their morning chores by 7 a.m. Mary called Russ Moore, Josiah's brother, who had an extra key, and proceeded to call the local peace officer. That's what they're called.
Peace officer. You were close.
Yeah.
Police officer, peace officer. Yeah. It's the same thing.
Actually, no, cops nowadays aren't peace officers. Anyway.
We won't get into that.
Who then called the investigators. The peace officers called in the investigators.
Mm-hmm.
Which I find odd. I kind of wish that that was still the case. Like, I wish cops were just like people who like came and checked on a said happening, and then for like all the evidence base for non-bias, like they called in a whole separate like group of like third party, just so like, hey, we don't care who happened here. Just like, we want to get the facts straight, and here you go.
Okay. That's supposed to happen in most cases. Oh, if you okay, this is coming from a true crime buff over here. A lot of times, let's say a murder happens and it's a big murder, normally you would have to call in like the FBI and so on and so forth, depending on how big the crime is and
fair stuff enough.
Like that. If the county's too small and there's only like two police officers, you're supposed to, you know, call in other people and be like, hey, we need help. A lot of the times that doesn't happen, because I'm going to be an asshole here. A lot of the times they just have too big of egos.
Fair enough.
Do it.
Fair enough.
So really they are, most of the time, is it just depends on the situation. They are supposed to bring people in, but that usually doesn't happen. And that's how a lot of cases either get botched or go cold or... not good things.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, they called in the local peace officer, who then called in the investigators. There were plenty of suspects, but it was never solved. One suspect was Reverend George Kelly, who was actually tried for the murders. He was a traveling minister that was in town the night of the crime.
Mm-hmm.
Then some bullet points to build off of that, which he's kind of fucked up the more I did the research on him.
Yeah, he's a strange character.
Yeah.
He really is.
He was at the service the Moore family attended before their deaths,
mm-hmm.
but randomly left town between 5 and 5:30 a.m. the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
He showed suspicious interest in the murders. After being in and out of trouble with the law for sending obscene material through the mail, and had a stint in the mental hospital, he was arrested for the murders. He confessed, then recanted.
Yeah.
And was eventually tried and then acquitted. It seems most people didn't think he was mentally or physically capable of carrying out the crime.
Okay. And a lot of people disagree with that.
Yeah.
Because usually he raises a lot of red flags as of being the killer, because a lot of times the killer wants to return to the crime scene, takes really great interest into the crime, like out of fucking nowhere, like right out of the gate.
Yeah.
The fact that he confessed and then recanted and then showed signs of suspicious actions And I think there's information saying somewhere that like his timing lined way too easy with the murder. And he spoke way too much about it, as in like information that nobody else should know. I believe he did it.
Yeah.
I would be shocked if he didn't.
Do you know what this specific, like, the suspect killings and murder, the way everything went down, do you know what it reminds me of?
No.
Michael from Halloween.
Really?
He went to the mental hospital, so he was obviously troubled in the head. And most people that go through that much trauma and stress are obviously a bit stronger than most people. The obscene things in the mail doesn't line up to Halloween, obviously. But, like, a mass murderer that did a stint in a mental hospital, like, obviously him being a minister has nothing to do with Halloween. But, like, it just, like, mental hospital to killing a mass group of people.
I get that. I think the only reason why I don't relate it is because
to your left, is there a dog or something?
Yeah.
Okay, I was like, there's a shadow.
It's Steven. It's probably too dark to see.
Yeah, I can't see.
He blends in with the night.
I was like, there's a shadow that's going back and forth, and forth.
It's because he's rolling around on the bed. Okay. Because I'm in here and I'm talking, so he's excited.
Gotcha.
So now he's trying to crawl in my... Yep, there he is. Okay. Sorry, guys.
You're fine. Hey, that's what the people are actually here for.
It's for the puppies. I have to leave the door open. Otherwise, we're going to hear him whine and bark at the door. And I really don't want to have to deal with that. I'd rather have to deal with him rolling on the bed than him whining at the door. But anyways, back to the point. I think the reason why I don't correlate with the two is because I listen to so many true crime podcasts and true crime books and all that kind of stuff that a lot of that stuff already lines up anyway. So I guess I just don't relate to the Hollywood stuff. Usually the Hollywood stuff reminds me of what people do in real life. Yeah. Like I see it the opposite way.
Gotcha.
I guess it's kind of...
You're more of a true crime buff. I'm more of like a fucking I'm hunting demons buff.
I'm both.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
I'm both, except for I'm like, you want a cookie? You want this ghost cookie? Let's sit down and have a talk.
and I just walk in like, sup, bitch. What's Fight up? Me. Fight me.
It's your boy.
It's your boy.
Your boy.
All right. It seems that most people didn't think you did it. Okay. Even after years of trials and rumored suspects, everything led to a dead end. All questions were left unanswered and no one was charged with the murders.
Mm-hmm.
To this day, the murder was never found and likely went to the grave with a secret crime. I have some general stuff and specific stuff in here. The house was lived in for years after the murder, although families never stayed long. And I read that somewhere that after the murders, the families that, like, after the fact that lived in there, supposedly they'd say they didn't experience much. I don't know if that was true or not, but
yeah, I heard a lot about that too. In the beginning years, nothing really happened. I don't really know why. Maybe I could explain why, but. Because normally hauntings wouldn't happen right away. It would take time to settle.
Fair enough.
Due to, like, the way energy works. But, you know, what do I know? Anybody doesn't really know. But anyways. Sorry.
You're fine. Over 100 years later, ghost hunters can attend tours of the Moore House, as well as pay to spend the night at the house and record their experiences. Mm-hmm. In 1994, Darwin and Martha Lynn bought the house and they planned to turn it into a historical museum. After they bought the house, they started getting inquiries and messages from paranormal investigators who wished to visit the house. The Lynns hadn't even heard of the profession at the time,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was weird.
It happens. I mean, it happens.
They quickly realized the house was haunted and that the museum should reflect its deep and dark history. The house changed hands a few times over the past 100 years, and the reported ghost encounters just kept occurring and occurring. Things like disembodied giggles.
Like scream. This?
Like this.
That's not a giggle.
I'm sorry.
You need to apologize to our listeners for putting that into their ears and calling that a giggle. That is your fault.
I'm not apologizing. It's we're fucking adults. Burping's like kind of funny, kind of. Anyway, that was a noise. I'm practicing my deathcore scream. I'm practicing my guttural screaming.
Nope. Cut out your losses, dude. Cut them out. You're done.
My throat hurts. I can't. Yeah, they also experience screams, unexplained movements, a strange fog moving from room to room when the train passes through at the times of the murders. What do you guys say about that one?
You can tell I was like, okay. And what the hell was that? Oh, Steven. Okay, sorry.
Squirrel. Shit. Squirrel.
Fuck. So, just by that piece of information alone, it feels like that would be the murderer coming back to relive, because it can happen. Like, spirits just kind of play on a loop. It can't happen. So yeah. It almost feels like, of course, like a murderer is gonna have the most awfulest energy. Sorry.
That was the dog, if you might heard that.
That was a dog. He's being awful right now. Steven. Okay, here. Hold on, guys. Let's because I don't want him arguing with me. Come here. Get over here. Okay. That way he is on my leg and can deal with it. Okay. So it would make me think it's the pastor, which is who I obviously think did the murder. I mean, there's other suspects and stuff, but I really honestly think it's probably him, especially with the timing of the train going by.
Yeah.
And the fog. I mean, obviously that's bad residual energy. Residual. I don't even know if it's residual or not. I've never been there, but I would assume
regional. Is this, as you can see, we are at the old fort, and there's cannons that fire off at the late of night, and the regional energy of the soldier.
I'm so sorry. I was trying so hard to make the point, and then Steven started growling at me, and I lost my freaking point. You know what I mean. Go on.
So I love when I go to fucking investigations and the regional energy comes.
The regional energy just starts coming through, and you're like, oh, fuck yeah.
Spirits, if you are here, can you please tell me where we are? Kentucky.
Specifically, which region? Western Kentucky.
The tri-state area.
The tri-river area. Fucking shit. Only certain people know what we're talking about, by the way. Yeah. Only
certain people know. We have one the listener that's from, like, UK. Hi.
Hi!
You don't know what you're talking about. But, and then, also, one, I'll cite my sources at the end of this. And also, people experience, I kind of added on to this because I'm like, what do they mean this? They also experience strange behavior from visitors. And I was thinking at first, I was like, oh, like, Are people like constantly cold? Do they feel the energy of the area and get sad as well? Like, do they feel the regional energy and get sad? Get what I did there?
Sorry.
I said,
I literally have a growling dog at me. And then I heard regional and I was like, shit.
They experience strange behavior from visitors. And my guess is it one of the three stages of possession? Depression, oppression, or even partial possession?
Probably partial.
Yeah.
Because it does take a while for a possession for a true possession to actually happen, because normally, and this is speaking from like energy, Steven. Steven's now a part of this podcast and he disagrees.
I mean,
disagrees. I was gonna say, so normally they would have, I mean, there has to be like a cord, like a connection for a possession to really, like a real possession to happen. So I would almost say partial, like an attempt.
See, all right, hopefully you'll know what I'm talking about, because I don't remember the location it happened. Ghost Adventures. Okay. It's definitely an older episode. It's not new by any means. It's like halfway. Whoa, the focus. That was
did odd. You see that?
Yeah.
I probably have a ghost. Go away.
Later.
Too busy.
Later.
Later. We'll talk later. God, everybody's interrupting me.
God damn it, Bobby.
God damn it. Damien.
Fucking wait, what was the fucking lady in white called? Melissa?
Melissa!
Melissa, fucking...
Melissa!
I would make a joke about, like, oh, I saw some white figure behind you. I don't want to feel like I'm faking evidence. So
you're faking evidence? Trevor! That's a sin.
The eighth commandment, I think?
Yeah.
Don't fake printable evidence on the podcast? Yeah.
Yeah.
Melissa's here in theory. There we go.
In theory.
Where were I?
It's my fault. We Steven. Were at partial possession.
Yes. All right.
Okay.
Oh yes. Fucking the Ghost Adventures thing. Do you remember years ago when Zach Bagans he was investigating a friendly haunting? He even left, I think, some like offering, like a rose or something, in like a closet where a girl died, like in a room. And then he went upstairs, second or third or fourth, don't know. But he went up. I think it was the other. I don't know. He went upstairs and sat in a chair in the middle of like of a room. To like channel, and then he eventually didn't get the voice of a little girl, but his knees went closed and had his hands on his knees like he was sitting down like a younger woman, and then he started like asking questions and getting curious about a room, like he was asking about like roses and like if everyone was like okay. He changed the demeanor and everything, and they kept the cameras on him. And then 5 minutes of that or so, I think, he eventually snapped out of it, and then like took his hands off his laps and like shook his head like he snapped out of it and looked at the camera and went, what are you guys doing here? And they go, you are like talking weird. And he goes, oh, weird. And then just continues. I forget what episode that was.
I kind of get weary about when it comes to like TV shows.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying, like,
but that is a great example of what a partial would look like. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Like, imagine like someone in the Velisca, like they're in the girls' room, the guest room, and randomly a visitor starts to feel defensive for no reason.
See, yeah.
Yeah,
but or they would be picking up on the residual energies in the room.
Like, imagine, like, walking into a room and to Lena's room and Ina's room, and then going like from like, oh, it feels interesting and different to like, guys, guys, and just like
Yeah.
huddling up. It's like in changing the demeanor as well. Like you may not get your voice may not change to like a little girl's voice or anything, but like imagine going from like how I'm talking now to, guys, do you feel that? Like the demeanor, like that would be weird.
Yeah, and that's all about in a presence.
Yeah.
It's definitely not something that you really can record because a lot of people have problems with believing stuff like that, but you don't
Yeah.
understand until you're in that situation of like, and how easily you can pick up on other energies and stuff. Yeah, I would understand that happening. Steven agrees.
Stephen agrees.
He's mad at me because it's supper time, so he keeps growling at me, so.
Seal of approval from the doggo.
Seal of approval from Doggo.
And if my cat could hop over here, he'll for those of you, I don't even think you know this. For if anyone wants like a quick heartwarming story, about a month ago or 3 weeks ago, my cat started to lose us Satan, like my older cat that I've had for years. She started losing weight out the ass, like spine showing,
Oh.
and I got scared, and her being old plus that I thought cancer. So then I called, and I went down to the vet, gave her some antibiotic or paid for antibiotics. I didn't administer it. And then that didn't work. And so I was like, hey, shit's not working. I called the vet. And she goes, dewormer. If that's not it, you have to bring her in. It's like, okay. I gave her some dewormer. Long story short, she's back to gaining weight. She's good now. But it took her a while to like wobble like on her feet and get her strength back, but now she can, and she hops on my chair all the time now. And if she could do that now, well, she's a cat, I'd be like, you're kitty kitty, but she doesn't give a fuck. But yeah, anyway,
Steven, I'm so sorry, guys. He's being awful.
Steven, all right, if this is
Steven.
I'll if he's still in your chair at the end of the podcast, I'll bring in my pet and we can have some pet time.
I'll try. He's
All
having a
right.
fit.
Strange behavior from visitors like depression, oppression, and possible possession. Then the same shit. Footstep,
Yeah.
poltergeist, apparitions, shadows, and getting scratched. Today, the house serves as a paranormal hotel where groups of six or fewer can pay $428 to book an overnight stay by themselves, or the daytime tours are just $10 each.
Oh, wow. Such a freaking difference. My God.
As for Martha, she doesn't like to talk about her own experiences in the house because she doesn't want to take away from others. Although she did share a comment whenever she was interviewed, I didn't find the interviewer because it didn't mark their source. But she was interviewed, and she was only asked one question, or I can only find where she was asked one question:
Yeah.
who she thinks the ghosts are. And she says, in quote, in Martha Lynn's quote, I feel like there's something there. If indeed there are spirits, you have to realize that six of them are children. I don't know if the murderers still exist there, but there have been a few things that have happened there that aren't exactly calming. I don't like to dwell on it. End quote.
I don't blame her. I
Yeah.
really don't. I don't blame her.
Yeah. Do you know what her thought process as a owner of a haunted location reminds me of?
No.
Bobby Mackey.
Oh, okay. I can make the
Like
connection there.
he obviously is aware that things happen there, but he's like, you know what? Do
Yeah, because a lot of the And again, this is
you?
coming from an just kind of like somebody who kind of just can sense things
Yeah.
differently. You know, sometimes there's just things attached to the land that you can't get rid of and you just have
Yeah.
to deal with it.
It's the regional energy.
It's the regional energy. Holy shit! God! There okay. it is!
Alright, so we already, if we ever do merch, which we will eventually.
Regional.
We need a RESI period, and then regional, like we said the wrong thing, like
regional.
Yeah, it's like regional.
Regional.
Energy, yes. Energy. And then we need a the lady in white named Melissa, and then Damien.
It's like,
the
it's like everybody's hearing our merch rant. We're gonna have like a lady in white, like your typical lady in white, and it's just gonna say like, "Damn it, Melissa."
Yeah.
I'll
but
get
yeah,
on it.
Before, oh yeah, and by the way, Lily Hare has a Redbubble where she recently made some art. Go check that out. If I roll, I will try to remember to link it. If I don't, then don't hate me.
I'll send you the link.
Okay, that's fair.
As soon as we end this.
Okay. But yeah, that's the Velisca X murder house. In a general sum, like in a general vague roundabout sum up, basically. In the summer of 1912, a family of eight, including two guest children were murdered in their house. On June 10th of 1912 in Velisca, Iowa, a murderer snuck into the attic, then killed them late at night. It was the pasture, supposedly.
Technically, we don't know. But my guess is on him.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and
the rest of the suspects are kind of like hearsay.
Yeah. Oh, and also before we end this, I got all of my sources. Go onto the sites and search them up. Just Velisca X Murder House, because it'll be there. One of my sources was housebeautiful.com. My other source was terror29.com and roadtrippers.com.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
And then this concludes the haunting investigation talk. Now we're going to get into pets.
Pets. Yeah, mine's still here. I'll just keep everybody entertained. Oh, everybody wants to see Steven. Now for our listeners, you probably won't be able to hear Steven. You want to come here, Steven? Come here. You have literally been begging to be in my lap this entire time. Oh, there we go. Let's say hi. Let's say hello to everybody. Say hello, Steven. Say hello.
Now, my cat I'm about to show for the audience, she's 12. So she's really old. She has like six more years in her. But
oh yeah.
She's very old, so she's like just standing like in that. Well, you can see her kind of.
I could see her.
But yeah, this is Satan.
Satan. Oh. That's a baby. Oh, that's a baby. Oh. She's so sweet. Our listeners do not give a shit right now. They're like, bye. But video people, we can see pets. We can see babies. Yeah.
She's growling.
She's growling. She's done.
Yeah, well here.
Oh, yeah, she's done. She's done.
All right.
He's not doing anything. He is just loving life right now. He's like, oh yeah, slap.
Satan is her name because whenever she was young, she had a throat infection, and ever since then, she doesn't have a normal. She growls a lot. She doesn't have a normal meow. But
no, I didn't know if you heard him sniffing the microphone. I don't know if anybody heard that. Sorry. Hello, Steven. You can't say anything.
But
Steven says hi, everybody. But
hello, Steven. Oh yeah, I was gonna go and wrap up the episode so it's not too carried on. But yeah, this has been episode 19 of the Velisca X Murder House. Is there anything that you want to say about the house before we end this?
I want to say that, oh, Steven wants to say something too. I want to say that I feel really bad for the victims.
Yes.
With this particular case, a lot of people forget about the victims. There he goes. Okay, we're down. Sorry. A lot of people forget about the victims in this case, especially there were 6 kids murdered, short of life. They had so much more to live for, and they didn't get to live their life. And a lot of people tend to forget those kind of things in cases, so I just want to be like, you know, just if you do look up about this case and about the paranormal happenings, just please remember about the victims that befell to the hand or hands of people who are awful, who are shitty ass people.
Yep.
So
pretty much. I will say this is one of my favorite locations to do the research on, because for many people out there that don't know, like, obviously, like, hospitals and large locations are awesome, but I'm a very homebody, introverted, small place guy. Like, if you gave me the option between to investigate a mental hospital or a haunted house, I would simply choose a haunted house just because it's smaller. I love smaller places. It's just who I am. So, like, this small place with such a dark history, I love to, like, Bobby Mackey's, I love Villisca, Conjuring House. Like, just smaller in size places, I love. That's why I chose this place. But anyway, this has been episode 19. I hope you enjoyed. If you're still here, thank you. And follow us on Twitter, Instagram. If you have any questions, ideas, or topics, or ideas, comment down below or email us at wethehauntedpodcast@gmail.com. Specifically, if you would like to, and if you're on the platform, give us a good rating on iTunes, because it helps out a lot. We are looking into, we're going to be doing some new type of content here in the coming weeks, so look out for that. It's going to be less podcast-based and more like paranormal analysis/investigation-based. It's not going to be as long, so if you enjoy shorter
content. It's going to be podcast-y-based, really. If we're technically speaking, it'll be pretty close. Okay.
If that's the case, do you think it'll still be under the name We the Haunted? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Then never mind. I thought it was going to be like a whole separate like thing.
No.
Okay. I don't have all the information, I guess. Anyway, we have a new form of content coming with the brand We the Haunted to look forward to. Instead of talking about haunted locations like as a whole, or haunted items, which we've yet to do as a whole, we're going to be deep diving on specific investigations that we've done, and so on and so forth. But it's 2022, so if you happen to be on TikTok, I'm on TikTok more. I'm going to be there promoting the podcast and making dumbass content for you to consume, and Lily does artwork on there as well. So I'm gonna stop ranting. This has been episode 19. I am Trevor Haunted Faith, and we also have
Lily, the one and the
only
boom sparkles.
Yeah. Spirit fingers. Thank you all for watching, and we'll see you later. Bye. Love you.
Bye.